Good evening, church, and welcome back to our Wednesday night study of Christian theology. For some time now, we've been looking at the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, but this week we're going to switch gears. We're going to be talking about the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, we're going to be looking at His person and His work. And so we're going to start first with the person of the Holy Spirit. We're asking the question, who is the Holy Spirit? Now, in the Old Testament, the Hebrew word most often translated for spirit is ruach. You've got to say it like that, ruach, with a little phlegm in the back of your throat. In the New Testament, the Greek word translated as spirit is pneuma. Pneuma, the same word from which we get English words pneumonia or pneumatic. Traditionally, the study of the Holy Spirit has therefore been called pneumatology, the study of the Spirit. Now, both of these words, ruach and pneuma, both of these words can generally be translated to mean breath or wind, as well as spirit. And you can hear that in the way that you say the words. There's a breathiness to the way that you say each of those words. And so they can be used interchangeably to talk about breath and wind and spirit, and not necessarily specifically about the Holy Spirit at times. Genesis, in chapter 2, and verse 7, we see, "Then the Lord formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the ruach, the breath of life, and the man became a living creature." We can look at Ezekiel, in chapter 37, in verses 1 through 14. I want you to hear as I read these verses how often it talks about the Spirit, how often it talks about breath, how often it talks about wind, all of which are ruach. And it depends on the context as to how you interpret the word. "So the hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones. And he led me around among them, and behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley, and behold, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. Then he said to me, Prophesy over these bones, and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. But there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. And I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live. And I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. I have spoken, I will do it, declares the Lord." So he pictures the Spirit of God as this breath that would come into his people and raise them from death to a mighty army. John, in chapter 3, verses 6 through 8, we see this in the story of Jesus talking to Nicodemus. He says, "That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." So we can't control the wind, and therefore we hear wind and spirit in the same way are uncontrollable, and both are pneuma to us. So we see, first of all, concerning the person of the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit is distinct from God the Father and God the Son. God the Holy Spirit is a person, and God the Holy Spirit is distinct from God the Father and God the Son. We know that he is also united to God the Father and God the Son, but he is distinct, and he's mentioned in verses where the three persons of the triune God, the one God, are mentioned. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19. In the Great Commission, it tells us, "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." So you see that the Holy Spirit is distinct from the Father and the Son, but he possesses the same name. It is one name, the singular name of Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. He receives the same billing as the Father and the Son. He is not subject to them in any way, in the sense that he is lesser than them in their being. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 6. Again, all three persons are mentioned. Now, there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all and everyone. So their God is substituted for Father, and Lord is substituted for Jesus Christ, the Son. And then you have the Spirit. So the same Spirit, Lord, and God, the same Spirit, Son, and Father, in, as we might say. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 14. "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all." Again, he mentions all three persons of the Trinity, and the Spirit of God is mentioned with the Father and Son, but is distinct from the Father and the Son. Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 4 through 6. "There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all." So one Spirit, one Lord, and one God and Father of all. Lastly, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2 says, "According to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in the sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ, and for sprinkling with his blood, may grace and peace be multiplied to you." So the foreknowledge of God the Father, the sanctification of the Spirit, the obedience of Jesus Christ. Father, Spirit, Jesus Christ, the Son. We have the three persons, but the Spirit is distinct from the other beings. I mean, the other persons, sorry, the other persons of the one true God. The Holy Spirit is not only distinct from the Father and Son, but united to the Father and Son. The Holy Spirit is also personal. That is to say that he is not a force, that he is not an it. That is to say that it possesses the attributes and the qualities of a person. We see this, first of all, in the language about the Holy Spirit. The masculine he, the pronoun he, refers to the Holy Spirit. So whenever the Spirit, Holy Spirit is mentioned, he is referred to as a he in the Scripture and not an it in the Greek understanding of those terms. What is remarkable about this is that the word pneuma is itself a neuter word. So it would require, the word pneuma would require an it to go with it, except when it refers to the Holy Spirit, it has a he that is connected to it and refers to the Holy Spirit in pronoun form. Not only do we see that in the pronouns that are used about the Holy Spirit, but the word for comforter, for counselor, is almost always used of a person. John 14:16, Jesus says, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever." That's another comforter, another counselor, another helper, a paraclete. That's the Holy Spirit. "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." John chapter 16 and verse 7. There you see that he refers to the Holy Spirit as a helper, and that he refers to the Holy Spirit as a him. The Holy Spirit is personal not only in its language that is used, but also in its activity. The Holy Spirit is said to do personal things. He, first of all, teaches. The Helper, the Holy Spirit, when the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. So he teaches. The Holy Spirit, he bears witness. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, Romans 8:16. The Holy Spirit, he intercedes in prayer, Romans chapter 8 and verse 27. "And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God." And the Holy Spirit, he searches the depths of God. 1 Corinthians 2:10. "These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God." Moreover, in 1 Corinthians 2:11, it says that the Holy Spirit, he knows the thoughts of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit, he distributes gifts. 1 Corinthians 12:11. "All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to such to each one individually as he wills. And he forbids certain things." Acts chapter 16 and verses 6 through 7. "And they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And when they had come to Mysia, they attempted to go in Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them." There you see the Spirit being called the Spirit of Jesus. "But he forbids certain things. Moreover, he speaks." Acts chapter 16, verses 6 through 7. "And they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, and it said the Spirit did not allow them." So he speaks to them. They were forbidden. He approves of wise decisions. Acts chapter 15 and verse 28. "For it has seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay on you no greater burden than these requirements." Seemed good to the Holy Spirit to do that. "And the Holy Spirit, he is grieved by sin." Ephesians 4:30. "Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." So the Holy Spirit of God does not just spoken of as a person. He does personal things. He is grieved by sin. He approves wise decision. He speaks. He forbids certain things. He distributes gifts. He knows the thoughts of God. He searches the depths of God. He intercedes in prayer. He bears witness. He teaches. He does personal things, because the Holy Spirit is not an impersonal force, but he is a person, the person of God, which speaks that he, the Holy Spirit, is God. He is deity. We see this in Acts in chapter 5 and verses 3 through 4. But Peter said, "Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit?" Now let's just stop there. This is Ananias and Sapphira, and Ananias has lied to the Holy Spirit, and Peter is confronting him, and he's told him, "You have lied to the Holy Spirit, and you to keep back for yourself part of the proceeds of the land. While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, was it not at your disposal? Why is it that you have contrived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to man, but to God. So originally he says, you have lied to the Holy Spirit, and then he says, you have lied to God, for God, the Holy Spirit, is God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16, we're asked, do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? A temple is where God himself dwells. And because we are where the Spirit of God dwells, we as believers are where the Spirit of God dwells, we are God's temple. And the Spirit is God. Psalm 139, verses 7 through 8. Where shall I go from your Spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. God's presence and God's Spirit are one and the same. And God is omnipresent. And so is the Holy Spirit. For the Holy Spirit is God. He has the attributes of God. He is fully God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the Spirit of that person which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. So no one can know your thoughts except your Spirit within you. Likewise, no one knows the thoughts of God except God's Spirit. For the Holy Spirit, He is God. So by way of review, we see that the Holy Spirit is mentioned both in the Old and the New Testament, and that the Holy Spirit is distinct and unified to God the Father and God the Son, that the Holy Spirit is not an impersonal force, but he is a personal person, and moreover, that He is God Almighty. Next time we'll talk about what the Holy Spirit does.